Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I so welcome you with an open heart and am just thrilled to join together to spend this hour strengthening these loving ideas for one another in our minds. Let's begin our call, as we usually do, with coming into a brief period of turning within. So if we're moving around, if we have the option of pausing, if we have the option of closing our eyes, obviously not if we're driving in the car, but if we are able to close our eyes, bringing our attention within to that quiet, still space that we all share. And this is where we connect with the Holy Spirit. And this is where we focus on the truth. And this is where we can imagine bringing our willingness, offering our willingness to Holy Spirit within our minds, being willing with open hands, open hearts, and open minds, willing to experience miracles, and willing to loose the world from all we thought it was. And for a few moments together, you can imagine our circle. We have at least 10 or 11 people on the line, just imagining our circle of supporting each other as we close our eyes and rest in the truth together. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Trusting that even if it doesn't seem like a particular sentence or paragraph or sharing is relevant to us, trusting that we are all receiving the love of the Holy Spirit behind the words, always. So taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Here we are together again. I am so happy. And whatever book you are reading from, our subheading tonight is called The Coming of the Guest. If you are in, actually we're in chapter 29 in all the editions, so if you are in the CE, the Complete and Annotated Edition, you will go to page 853. If you have the Sparkle Edition, it is page 665. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 29, part 3. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it is chapter 29, part 2. The Coming of the Guest. For those of us who are joining or listening in for the first time, we tend to read one or two paragraphs at a time. I share some thoughts and some reflections and always open it up to questions, comments, insights. One of the things that I just love so much about this group, I would be bored if it was just me talking the whole time. So I love your insights and your input. So we are conversational. And tonight, I have a feeling we're going to get through this whole section because it is a short one. So, the coming of the guest. Here we go. Why would you not perceive it as release from suffering to learn that you are free? Why would you not acclaim the truth instead of looking on it as an enemy? Why does an easy path, so clearly marked it is impossible to lose the way, seem thorny, rough, and far too difficult for you to follow? It is not because you see it as the road to hell. Excuse me. Is it not because you see it as the road to hell instead of looking on it as a simple way without a sacrifice or any loss to find yourself in heaven and in God? Until you realize you give up nothing, until you understand there is no loss, you will have some regrets about the way that you have chosen. I want to read that sentence one more time. Until you realize you give up nothing, until you understand there is no loss, you will have some regrets about the way that you have chosen. And you will not see the many gains your choice has offered you. I will pause there. So this first sentence reminds me of elsewhere in the course, how it says the door is open. You know, if we perceive ourselves as having been prisoner for so long, the door is open. It's not closed. And this is saying, why would we not acclaim the truth instead of looking on love as an enemy? Why does this easy path, so clearly marked, it's impossible to lose the way, seem thorny and difficult and so challenging? I know I've shared and said in my head many times to myself that, actually, I don't know if I've shared this on the call before, but I have had thoughts of like, gosh, like it's got to be, and I'm saying this as a complete joke, I'm not being serious, that like life can seem like it must be so much easier for people who are maybe not on this path, because, you know, when we realize that we're choosing for ego and, you know, why is this coming up again when it seems like I'm turning to spirit? And yet, obviously, by making the choice to be on this pathway, to call in the Holy Spirit immediately came in. And the only reason that we perceive the pathway as thorny, rough, or difficult is because we want it. It says so clearly in the middle of this paragraph, is it not because you see it as the road to hell, instead of looking on it as a simple way without a sacrifice or any loss to find yourself in heaven and in God? In other words, we think we're giving up something. We think that we are going to lose something. We're going to lose some aspect of our small sense of self. And we will realize, and we will realize this together, that we give up nothing in this journey of awakening. It is an exchange. What falls away, what we are ready to let go, is what we are ready to let go of, and it gets replaced with an awareness and a knowing of who it is that we really are. And when we have those moments of knowing who we really are, we can see, and this is, I know I've said this on the call before, like, why did I defend against this? When we have those moments of divine love, those moments of deep, unshakable peace, I would ask myself, why did I ever defend against this? And we defend against it because, like it's saying right here in the middle of the paragraph, we actually see it. The ego sees it as a road to hell. And of course, it is not. It's the road to our freedom. But the small sense of self gets threatened. I will also emphasize one more sentence, because this is going to kind of come up as a theme in this section. It says, you will not see, the very last sentence we read, and you will not see the many gains your choice has offered you. You will not see the many gains your choice has offered you. So in other words, if we are still seeing through the ego's eyes, if we are still vacillating between spirit and ego, which we all do, we're not going to see the many gains that our choice has offered to us. In other words, all the gifts of God, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are right here in front of us, but we don't perceive them. And that's all I want to say. So, any comments or questions so far?
Hi, Corinne.
Hi.
This is Linda. Oh my God, did that resonate? Until you realize you give up nothing, and until you understand there is no loss, you'll have some regrets about what you've chosen.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me, I didn't have the course when I was 18 or 22, but I'm going to bring it back to like the love of my life in a relationship that
mm-hmm.
for years, maybe 4, maybe 5 years, I was interested romantically, but I kept being this friend's best friend, you know,
mm-hmm.
and because I just remember talking to my mother and friends, I agonized over, what if he doesn't feel the same way? I'll lose his friendship. I'll lose something. I didn't say it like that, right? But to me, it was
mm-hmm.
like an agonizing loss, like my whole life will be over. I can't live without his friendship. So it really was, you know, and now I look at the friendship we have, it's completely opposite. This man, which this is separate, it doesn't really matter how it turned out, but this is like 25, 30 years later, he comes to a conference once a year. We spend a weekend together, and it's just such a beautiful, that would have never happened. Let's just put it
mm-hmm.
that way. We grew up together. We were, you know, like neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I saw was loss, and I hung on for years, for
mm.
years and years and years, and blamed myself. So I'm not going to say I've mastered that by any means, because
mm-hmm.
that means you have to realize that you give up absolutely nothing.
Mm.
But boy, oh,
Linda.
Did that jump out to me when you read that. So thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, thank you for sharing your example, and that's such a beautiful example, and you said that so clearly. And I feel like that's a question that we can all ask ourselves. Where am I hanging on to loss? Where am I perceiving loss? Where, in truth, the Holy Spirit might be seeing that situation completely differently. There's a part in the course where it says, you judge your greatest, we get it reversed. We think we're doing a fabulous job, like on our spiritual pathway, and we're actually, you know, maybe like fully in spiritual ego. So we're actually completely in ego. Then we judge ourselves for having major setbacks and regressing and not doing the course right. And yet the Holy Spirit is seeing the advancement. So it's just such a good reminder, what you said, to really be willing to have that open mind, to release, to experience those different ways of seeing that the Holy Spirit is offering to us and being willing to not hang on to loss. That's amazing. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for that question. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, you
to
said
reflect
it. Those are
upon.
Your words, girl.
I thought they were your words, but thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I wrote that down. Where are we hanging on to loss? All right, anybody else before we dive into our next paragraph?
This is Jan, and I have to say something.
Sure.
Because the one part about this that brings me, and I'm not, in all honesty, Corinne, I'm not quite sure where you ended because my eyes wandered.
Oh, no problem.
Where it says, and you will not see the many gains your choice has offered you.
That was the last sentence we read.
Okay, so this next part, and you're going to be on it, but if I can just mention it.
Please.
My heart leapt when I read, yet though you do not see them, they are there.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking into Trader Joe's last night, and I had that thought. It was pretty much that exact thought of, until you realize you give up nothing, until you understand there is no loss, you will have some regrets about the way that you have chosen. And I was watching the people walking in, and I thought, how come I'm so full of conflict when I'm on the spiritual path, and yet they just seem like happy little clams? I mean, is their dream better than mine? And I often think of this movie that I saw with my daughter years ago. Earl Purdy recommended it, and I rented it from the library, Inside Out. And if anyone hasn't seen it, it's kind of a fun little animated movie where these personalities, and if you haven't seen it, you may not understand what I'm saying, but these personalities kind of are controlling the human. And whoever gets to the button first kind of takes over the personality. And my daughter laughs. I have a little hot head at times, and so she laughs that, you know, the little anger guy kind of hit the button first before the humor guy. And I started kind of laughing at myself and my perception, because it's my perception on loss and the regrets. It shows me once again that I'm looking at form from a place of not understanding. And my problem is a perception problem. And
all of our problem is a perception problem.
And I find so much peace when I go, oh, it's my perception problem again. That's my problem, is I can totally admit to the Holy Spirit, I don't understand because I have a perception problem. And then it kind of takes the sting out of it. I have been, and I just want to recommend if this resonates with anyone, I've really been led to listen to David Hoffmeister, Course in Miracle teacher. I just love his gentle approach right now from where I'm at. And on YouTube, The Dreamer of the Dream, Perspective is Forgiveness, is the one that I've just been listening to over and over and over again about that true forgiveness is realizing that this is a dream. And I've had dreams where I wake up, I'm totally involved in the dream, and it feels like loss and conflict and pain. And I wake up and I realize, oh, it was just a dream. It's not real. I can let it all go. And I think that's my perception problem is moving me, as I realize it is a perception problem, is moving me closer and closer to waking up and realizing it's all a dream and form. And what feels like loss is just a dream. And as I wake up more and more, I will be able to let it all go.
Yes.
And so it just comes back to, and you will not see the many gains your choice has offered you. But I don't have to see it. I just have to know it.
Yes. And the next sentence that we'll begin with, yet though you do not see them, they are there. I just am so, Jana, thank you so much for your beautiful share and for your beautiful statement that I think we can all benefit from using. I know I could use this in my own life. Oh, it's my perception problem again. And that's it for all of us. It's our perception problems again. And I can relate to what you just said. I was just going through some challenging experiences recently. I've shared in the previous weeks leading up to this week that I felt like I've been in training ground for seeing past the picture because I have a number of people in my life who are going through some very difficult circumstances. And I started getting hooked in wanting to understand how this all works, like figuring this all out. How is it that, you know, some people might show up with illness in this way, or some people might, you know, choose for this, or how do they have that happy dream? What are they doing? You know, it's almost like, I'm not into the term manifesting. It just doesn't resonate with me, but it's almost like that kind of like, you know, how are they making that happen type of thinking, which I think is like, you know, the thinking about how do you manifest something. And what hit me, yes, it was yesterday or today? It was today. It was earlier today. It was a huge shift because I was going through a folder with some old notes, some old insights that I'd written down. And I'm going to actually borrow the words of Nook Sanchez because she had previously expressed this, and then I got it in my own way. Do I want to understand or do I want peace? If I seek to understand, who is seeking to understand? It's Corinne. It's the ego. Because I am, the I am in all of us, those of us, I mean all of us, in truth, we already know. We know. There is no need to understand. We know. And so if I'm trying to figure something out, or if I'm distraught over not understanding, can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you can. Okay, good. I just heard a crackle, and I'm paranoid that it's my line. Thank you. It was as if I dropped beneath the desire to understand, and it fizzled away into that knowing of that peace. And you just articulated that, Jana, in what you were saying. So thank you for sharing that, and I love your statement of a reminder that, oh, it's my perception problem again. That's it. Oh, that's the answer. Thank you for that.
Could you repeat that, Corinne, the thing you said? Do I want to understand or do I want truth? Is that what it was?
Peace. Do I want peace to understand or do I want peace?
Okay.
Because when we truly release that need to understand, it's as if that peace just is given permission to just flow in, and just it brings us back into that state of knowing, rather than that ego frustrating desire to want to figure out how it works, to want to understand. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anybody else before we read the next paragraph?
Yeah, this is John. I'm sorry to join late. Could you just tell me where we are?
Sure. Which book do you have, John?
The Foundation.
Go to chapter 29, part 2. It's the coming of the guest, and we're just picking up with the second paragraph.
All right, got it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Your paragraph breaks are a little bit different. You're going to begin actually in paragraph 1.
It's on Corinne, 7. It's 608.
Okay. I got it.
Okay, great. Thank you. The page numbers are different in the different FIP printing, so that's why I usually go with the section number and the paragraph number. Okay, let's dive in. I'm just going to reread the very last sentence that we just read and then flow into the next paragraph, because as Jana highlighted it fits together so nicely. And you will not see the many gains your choice has offered you, yet though you do not see them, they are there. Their cause has been effected, and they must be present where their cause has entered in. You have accepted healing's cause, and so it must be you are healed. And being healed, the power to heal must also now be yours. The miracle is not a separate thing that happens suddenly as an effect without a cause. Nor is it in itself a cause. But where its cause is, must it be. Now is it caused, though not as yet perceived. And its effects are there, though not yet seen. Look inward now, and you will not behold a reason for regret, but cause indeed for glad rejoicing and for hope of peace. Okay, so the gains that our choice for the Holy Spirit, when we choose for the Holy Spirit, we receive instant gains, but we might not perceive them. Even though we might not perceive them, they are there. Their cause has been effected. In other words, we've made a choice to bring those miracles about because we are choosing for Holy Spirit. And they must be present where their cause has entered in. I love how that sentence, that first, actually it's the second sentence in the paragraph we just read. They must be present where their cause has entered in. The gifts must be present when their cause has entered in. You have accepted healing's cause, which I have a footnote here in the CE. This cause in this paragraph probably refers to what two holy relationship partners, like Helen and Bill, accept into their minds when they join. And we can also look at this capital C cause as God, of course. So you have accepted healing's cause, and so it must be you are healed. Being healed, the power to heal must also now be yours. So again, as we accept truth into our minds, that can't help but flow from us to others. That's what it means to be a miracle worker. When we arrest love's extension within us, that's what the ego does. That's like the definition of the ego. It's arresting love's extension. It seeks to stop that extension of love to only have this little tiny bit of world of itself that it knows, this tiny body, you know, the seeming tiny mind. Yet love wants to flow. Love wants to extend. And that's why it's our job as miracle workers to go out into the world to allow this love to extend through us. It's not of our small self. It's of something much greater. But this, as we accept healing into our mind, that healing must flow through us out to others. So I love how this says the miracle is not a separate thing that happens suddenly as an effect without a cause, nor is it in itself a cause. So miracles don't just happen out of the blue. They aren't just random events, but they are where its cause must be. So again, when we're choosing for truth, when we're choosing for God, when we're even just willing, forget choosing. We don't know how to choose for God. We don't know how to choose for truth. We just have to be willing. And in that willingness, turning to spirit, that's what creates these gifts. That's where these miracles come from. And it is caused, so it has occurred, though not as yet perceived. So we might not see it yet, but we've already made that choice for love, for Holy Spirit. And its effects are there, though not yet seen. Look inward now, and you will not behold a reason for regret, but cause indeed for glad rejoicing. You know, these last two sentences remind me of what I just shared. In the situation that I just shared where I've been in this training ground of seeing past the picture, the effects of my choice are there, though I have not necessarily been seeing them. So rather than keep looking for effects to show up in the world, rather than keep getting caught up in how the picture currently looks, look inward now. It's telling us, don't look out, look in, go within. And we're not going to see any reason for regret, but instead we're going to see that cause for glad rejoicing. That's that simple resting in truth, that willingness to know peace instead of wanting to understand. Okay, that's all I got for that paragraph. Anybody want to hop in? Any thoughts or things to share?
Hi, Corinne. It's Deidre.
Hi, Deidre.
Just as you were listening and some of the comments that were made earlier, I'm reminded of a saying, and I'm not sure who said it originally, but it's kind of like this. There are two ways to live your life. One as if nothing is a miracle, and the other as if everything is a miracle. And that to me is speaking to, like, if we live as if everything is a miracle, which to my understanding is having everything in the Holy Spirit camp, meaning you're willing to surrender the meaning you give everything and just accept that even things that we may not want or desire on the level of form in terms of a loss, let's say a relationship or something, we want that relationship, but actually the loss of it is a miracle. We just don't know it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, like the sun is always present, even when it's covered by the clouds. We just can't see the sun when it's covered by the clouds. It's kind of speaking to that whole metaphor. So I just felt called to share that.
Thank you, Deidre. That was beautiful. And that's an Albert Einstein quote.
Thank you.
So, two ways to live. I love, love, love what you said. That was crystal clear. Oh, thank you.
Beautiful. Hi, Corinne. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Nicole.
So this passage is perfect. A few days ago, I had a conversation with my job, and there was a lot of stress and anxiety around the going into this discussion. And everything I feared in this discussion was actually said, but instead of being upset about the words that were said in this meeting, that loss, it's not a loss, it's a gain. And I had this overwhelming sense of peace in my center that is indescribable. But if someone were to look at the outside picture of the situation, the ego would have a field day with it. And I get it. And in this meeting, as I left, and it just sort of came out of my mouth, I said, I'm very grateful for this experience. And this is with the big higher ups at my job. And I said, I'm grateful. Thank you very much. And I think they thought I was crazy because the situation from an ego's perspective wouldn't warrant that kind of response. Mm-hmm. But it was genuine. And I can't explain it. It's not Nicole, that's for sure. But the Holy Spirit was present in this meeting, and I'm not losing anything, and it's great.
Right, right. Yes, that's it. That's it. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, thank
you.
Okay.
This is New Jersey, Claire G. My first name is Claire G. It's a double
Claire
first
G.
name.
Got it.
Yes.
Thank you.
I want to ask a quick question because there's something going on here that I'm going to have to hang up. Are you on every night or just at once a week?
We are on every Sunday night from 8 to 9, so just once a week.
Okay. Well, I'll tune in again next week, but I have to cut off now. Thank you,
Clara G. Thank you for being here. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, good. So we'll go ahead. Let's read our third paragraph then for this section. It has been hopeless to attempt to find the hope of peace upon a battleground. I want to emphasize that sentence one more time. It has been hopeless to attempt to find the hope of peace upon a battleground. It has been futile to demand escape from sin and pain of what was made to serve the function of retaining sin and pain. I have to read that again, too. It has been futile to demand escape from sin and pain of what was made to serve the function of retaining sin and pain. For pain and sin are one illusion, as are hate and fear. Attack and guilt, but one. Where they are causeless, their effects are gone. And love must come wherever they are not. I'm underlining that. And love must come wherever they are not. Why are you not rejoicing? You are free of pain and sickness, misery and loss, and all the effects of hatred and attack. No more is pain your friend and guilt your God, and you should welcome the effects of love. So this first sentence, I feel like, is the plight of all of us. It has been hopeless to attempt to find the hope of peace upon a battleground. When we look for peace, in the world, when our peace is dependent on external circumstances, when we need something to be a certain way for us to feel safe and okay, that's trying to find peace upon a battleground, and it's hopeless. We're not going to find it there. What we are doing by turning to our willingness and turning to Holy Spirit is learning how, number one, we're not in a battleground, and number two, there's no sense in ever trying to find peace upon a battleground because it's just not there. We have to look with different eyes. We have to look in a different place for that peace. The second sentence that I read twice already, it has been futile to demand escape from sin and pain of what was made to serve the function of retaining sin and pain, the function of the world. I mean, let this sink in. This is what the Course is saying. The function of the world is to retain sin and pain. That is the function of the world as set up by the ego. The Holy Spirit has rewritten it and repurposed it, but if we are looking to the world, if I'm looking out at the world from the perspective of Corinne, as Jana said so beautifully before, I'm in my perception problem again. And I'm looking for escape from sin and pain of what was made to serve the function of retaining sin and pain. I'm trying to find peace out there in something that was made to retain sin and pain. So that's really hitting me. That's really sinking in, and I hope that that's as equally eye-opening for all of us, because we do this every time. I still flip probably daily of trying to look out there for I don't know that I try to look out there for peace, but I like it when my world is peaceful. So I think that that's probably another form of it. Anyway, I want to also highlight the sentence where it says, where they are causeless, their effects are gone, and love must come wherever they are not. Wherever hate and fear and attack and guilt are not, love must come. So that's where it's our choice to not manifest, there's that word, but I think this is appropriate. It's our choice to not manifest, to not put energy, to not breathe life into the ego's thought system of hate and fear and attack and guilt. And when we choose, again, when we choose to turn to the Holy Spirit, love must come where they are not. I know I'm going back to the example that I already gave, but it just feels, again, on a feeling level, that when I stopped when I stopped trying to understand what was happening out there and wanted peace instead, it was as if I let go of this fearful demand on wanting to know and understand, and love came back. Love flowed into my awareness when I was willing to go back into that space of, I don't know what anything is for. So why are you not rejoicing? We should rejoice. We are free of pain and sickness, misery and loss, and all effects of hatred and attack. How awesome is that? Let's welcome the effects of love. Comments or questions?
Hi, it's Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
Woohoo! I'm rejoicing.
Woohoo! Yay!
I just want to emphasize this, too, with a simple example of myself here, and just, I had a doctor's appointment was supposed to go to the doctor on November 28th. And I was like starting to spin out in a story about it. And so I was constantly saying in my mind, okay, that's the future. I'm not going there. I've given it over to God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And, you know, I just kept having to do that day after day after day. And it was like exhausting for about the third day. Then I'm like, okay, I got to let this go. I don't want to think about it for another 2 weeks, because this was a few days ago back. And as soon as I did that on Thursday, later afternoon, the doctor's office called me and she said to me, are you able to come in tomorrow morning instead? And I was like, yes. And I thought, this is wonderful. I haven't had to now think about this story for 2 weeks and drive myself crazy with this, you know, thinking what's going to happen and being not in peace. So it's just a reminder that it works. Like it is, I am rejoicing because it's not unbelievable, but yet it is. It's beautiful. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm rejoicing with you. Thank you for that, Audrey. So helpful.
Hi,
Linda.
Sorry, I don't mean to go back. I am rejoicing. And I had the question in the last paragraph, but can you just explain again? I know the cause and effect, meaning something causes and then you have an effect, yet it tripped me up in the second paragraph in this one. Just explain or just highlight where they are causeless, their effects are gone. You know, in the other one, their cause has been affected and they must be present when their cause is entered in. I think I understand effect more than how they're saying cause in A Course in Miracles for me here.
So this is where I always like chuckle because this is where the course gets really coursey with this language that like sometimes it's double negative. Sometimes it's, you know, the cause has been affected and the effect has been caused, and it starts making your head spin a little bit. So,
okay.
So there's two ways. Cause and effect works on two different levels. When we see capital C and capital E, that's referring to God being our only cause, and we are God's effect. We, as the Son of God, is God's effect. So that's capital C, capital E. That's on the level of the ultimate. When we are talking about this level of form, cause and effect, we've reversed it. So rather than owning that the cause of what we see out there is coming from our mind, we are instead saying that the world out there is causing me, you know, to feel a certain way. So that's another way that the Course often teaches about cause and effect. Here in this paragraph, I take this as we have made a choice for Holy Spirit and therefore have received gains that we might not even see. So their cause has been affected. In other words, to receive gifts, we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice for Spirit. We've made that choice. We're making that choice. And so the effects of that choice immediately bring about these gifts of Spirit, miracles, knowing, love, whatever these, you know, these gifts are. So that particular sentence is, that's how I interpret that particular sentence. Their cause has been affected, so we've again made that choice for Spirit, and therefore the gifts have now, they're showing up as the effect of our choice, even though we might not still perceive them.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. No problem.
Corinne, this is Janet. May I just share something that's kind of helped me a little bit with understanding this?
Please.
From one of, I watch a lot of, or listen to a lot of Course in Miracle teachers on YouTube, and so I can't remember exactly which one said this, but it helped me. And we're talking about the level of form. So the little E and the little C, cause and effect, is like going into a movie theater and watching the movie and deciding we don't like the movie and going up to the screen and pounding on the screen for a different movie would be the little E. That's the little effect. The only way you can change the movie is going to the projector and changing the movie out. And that's what God does with us, is he changes the movie out. Whenever I'm getting frustrated, I'm pounding on the screen wanting the movie to change.
That's great. That's helpful.
That just helped me. Cause and effect was kind of nebulous. But that just kind of helped me simplify it.
Right. So we have to bring the cause back to our mind, which is not trying to change what's on the screen, but changing what's on our mind. That's where the cause is coming from. I love that. Thank you for that. Beautiful. Okay, let's see the next.
Too.
Oh,
I
good,
love that
good.
Too.
Oh,
it was really beneficial. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dana. Okay, let's read the next paragraph. Paragraph number 4. Your guest has come. I'm going to pause for a moment. Capital G guest. We have a footnote. It says guest in this paragraph, and the following one probably refers to the Holy Spirit. It may refer to God, yet on balance, the language is more characteristic of the Holy Spirit. So guest is the Holy Spirit. Your guest has come. You asked him, and he came. You did not hear him enter, for you did not wholly welcome him. And yet his gifts came with him. He has laid them at your feet and asks you now that you will look on them and take them for your own. He needs your help in giving them to all who walk apart, believing they are separate and alone. They will be healed when you accept your gift, because your guest will welcome everyone whose feet have touched the holy ground whereon you stand and where his gifts for them are laid. So the Holy Spirit has come. We asked the Holy Spirit to come, and he came. We didn't hear him enter because we didn't wholly welcome him. Again, we still vacillate. It's not like we have both feet firmly in the in the Holy Spirit's camp. We're still divided between the two when we vacillate. Yet his gifts came with him. He laid them at your feet and asks you now that you will look upon them and take them for your own. He needs your help in giving them to all who walk apart, believing they are separate and alone. So these gifts that we receive, be it peace, be it love, be it an awareness, a knowing of our innocence, to keep these gifts, we give them. We give them to our brothers. We have to allow them to extend through us, to give them to others. And that's how we keep them. That's how we know them. That's how we know that we have them, is by giving them. And this, again, is where the giving and receiving in the world, as you give, you lose. Here, as you give, you gain. As you give, you know. As you give, you extend that which we are, and that's how you come to know it. I think this paragraph is so beautiful. The Holy Spirit has come. We need not doubt. Oh. We've got one more paragraph before we dive in. Any comments?
Just that was unbelievably beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes me want to cry. When I was reading this before the call, I felt choked up. I still feel
me
very
too.
Touched.
It made me cry too.
Mm. Oh, let's keep reading. Our last paragraph in this section. You do not see how much you now can give because of everything you have received. Yet he who entered in but waits for you to come where you invited him to be. There is no other place where he can find his host, nor where his host can meet with him. And nowhere else his gifts of peace and joy and all the happiness his presence brings can be obtained. For they are where he is that brought them with him, that they might be yours. You cannot see your guest, but you can see the gifts he brought. And when you look on them, you will believe his presence must be there. For what you now can do could not be done without the love and grace his presence holds. This paragraph gave me goosebumps. So we can't see the Holy Spirit with our eyes. We can't see the Holy Spirit in the world, but he has laid gifts right in front of us, right in front of our noses, right there in our awareness that we just have to be willing to perceive. And as we see these gifts, as we receive these gifts in our heart, as we feel, even if it's just like a speck of the love of God, if it's a fleeting moment of that love, if it's a fleeting moment of peace, these gifts show us that he is here. They show us that Holy Spirit is, as Nook Sanchez once said, closer than my next breath. He is here. And as we look on those gifts, we will believe his presence must be there, for what you now can do could not be done without the love and grace his presence holds. So I'm now not remembering the exact sentence that we read, but it said something to the effect that Holy Spirit needs us. It was paragraph 4. He needs your help in giving them to all who walk apart, believing they are separate and alone. This is why, as we open up to truth, as we allow love's awareness to be restored, as we allow love's presence to be restored in our awareness, we do not get whisked away. I've shared with you on calls before that I used to have this fear, if I ace the course, then boom, that was it. I was going to be gone. That fear is gone. And this sentence speaks to why that fear is gone. Holy Spirit needs your help in giving these gifts, in allowing love to flow through us to reach our brothers who are still sleeping. So when we were talking earlier and talking about, wondering about, I don't remember if this was now Linda or Jana sharing, like, people walking around and not on this pathway, and they just seem like they're happy little, happy-go-lucky, happy little dreams. I wouldn't trade what we know now for anything, because although it might seem like ignorance is bliss, it's not. It's when, you think that you're the victim of the world, that things just happen, and we're learning, that we're dreaming this, that we are the dreamers of this dream. So we are here to extend, not necessarily in words, teaching the course, but to extend love through us, to perform miracles, to allow those expressions of love to come through us to our brothers. That's what Jesus and Holy Spirit needs us for, because as we do that, not only do we awaken others, but that awakens ourselves as well. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Yay. Oh,
amen.
Watching this show last night, it was called Brain Games. I don't know if you've ever seen that. And they did a study, they do all kinds of different studies, but they did one on compassion and how it's contagious, that when we are compassionate, other people naturally become compassionate. It's just something innate in us that kind of flows from one person to another. And I think that's, with that thing about how says he needs your help in giving them to all those who walk apart. So those ones that are walking apart, when they see something compassionate, they become more compassionate, and more loving.
That's perfect. This is John, right?
Yes.
Yeah, John, that's perfect. That is so perfect. And I love it when, science, like a show like Brain Games, talking about the brain, is speaking truth. That's beautiful. Compassion is contagious. Love is contagious. Ah, I love it. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Oh, yay. Any final thoughts? We have 1 minute left.
Hi, Corinne. It's Nicole. I have one quick thing, and it's to sum up. I can't remember everybody's name, but miracle, I think it's 46. That when the miracle happens, if we ask for it and we allow for it and invite the Holy Spirit in, it's going to reach people and places and situations that we will never know about. And that kept coming to me when you kept mentioning the guest and the capitalizations and all of these other situations we've been discussing. And you mentioned us all being miracle workers and sharing it. And I can figure it out in my mind, but I'm having a hard time putting it into words. But is that about right?
Is what about right? What you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I followed you. Yeah, it made total sense. Yeah, as we allow that flow of love through us to touch others, that's being a miracle worker, 100%. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining together for our call this week. And I wish you a miraculous week. And I look forward to joining again next weekend. Love you all. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is beautiful. Thank you,
everyone. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.